This is KBBI Homer AM 890. The time is 8:59 a.m. Time for the morning reading of the Bush Lines. First Bush line is to Teashley, corned beef, no sleep, from the others. Next on the Bush lines to Mark and the Minnesota Cowgirls, happy trails, hope the sunshine lasts, from your Rose. And on the ride line, a ride is needed from Anchor Point to Anchorage Airport today. Call Trent at 208-720-3176. And next on the ride line, a ride is needed from Anchorage to Homer on Saturday, June 5th. We'll pay all expenses. Call if you can help, 299-1492. Bush Lines and Information Lines can be heard weekdays at 8:59 a.m. and 1 and 7 p.m. and on weekends at 10 a.m. and 1 and 7 p.m. If you'd like to add or remove information, call the Bush Lines, 235-7721. The extension is 229. Stay tuned. The regular Thursday COVID brief is coming up in just a couple minutes. Good morning. Welcome to the regular COVID brief. Every Thursday from 9 to 9:30 a.m., I'm Kathleen Gustafson, and on the line, I think I see Nurse Lorne Carroll. Nurse Lorne Carroll, there you are.
Good morning, Kathleen. You're loud and clear.
I'm getting kind of an echo from you. So, can you still hear me when I speak this way?
You sound great.
Okay. Oh, so I'm going to have to, if you have headphones, put them on. Otherwise, we will we'll proceed. I'm still waiting to hear from Dorotha Ferraro. Dorotha will be calling in at 235-7721, or maybe we'll hear her on this clean feed link. First, Nurse Lorne, if you don't mind, can you give us a brief update or idea of how many vaccines happened at the Seldovia clinic this week, and where we are basically in the state on vaccinations and positive COVID cases?
Sure thing. 1, 2. How do I sound now?
You sound perfect now.
Oh, great. Yeah, thanks for the question. You know, three hospital nurses, Dr. Tuame from South Peninsula Hospital, and two public health nurses went to Seldovia on June 1st to offer vaccines, really to anyone who's interested and hasn't had it. Kind of the take home there is SVT has really carried the job over there, they've given over 250 vaccinations to folks in Seldovia. So there's not much to do over there. But on our trip on June 1st, we had a great time, enjoyed the weather, and gave about 11 shots. In regards to statewide, here in Alaska, 53% of Alaskans that are age 12 and older, they've got their first shot. So they're on their way to being fully vaccinated. And 46% of all Alaskans that are age 12 and older are fully vaccinated. And getting closer down here to home, the numbers for Kenai Peninsula region are 40% fully vaccinated. And Southern Kenai Peninsula, the Homer EOC group has given nearly 12,000 doses so far.
Okay, thanks for that. So I'm going to check my list. I do want to make sure people know that there is a vaccine clinic today, Thursday, and every Thursday in June at the Boathouse Pavilion on the Homer Spit. Are you working those?
You know, Mary, the public health nurse and I work more at a systems level. So right. The actual vaccinators are mostly Southern Kenai Peninsula. You'll see those folks out there each Thursday, 3 p.m. till 7 p.m.
Oh, wonderful. And just to remind people, there are all kinds of incentives going on at the vaccination clinics down on the Spit today and every Thursday of this month. There are $40 worth of Homer bucks that you can spend at over 75 places in Homer. And then also you can enter yourself when you get a vaccine. You're entered in for weekly drawings of $100 and $500 gift certificates for places around town. And then also, if you have already been vaccinated or you vaccinated at a different place, somewhere else in town, I've got a list of all kinds of places: SVT Health and Wellness, Ulmer's, Safeway, also Kachemak Medical Center. They are all going to honor your vaccination card, and it will put you in for the weekly drawings of $100 and $500. I have Dorotha online too. Dorotha, do you hear me?
I got you this time, Kathleen.
Oh, sweet. Okay. Hey, Dorotha. Dorotha is on the road, so thanks so much for calling in. I've got questions already coming in for both of you, so thanks to all the listeners who are calling in and emailing in their questions to Kathleen@kbbi.org. Dorotha, can you give us an idea of how the Spit Clinic will work today? I think I got it all right, but I want to hear a little bit about positivity rates and vaccinations through Unified Command and South Peninsula Hospital.
Okay. Well, positivity rate remains very low. We still test daily at our testing and vaccine clinic on Bartlett Street, but we've only had one positive this week, and so that is great. Keeping our positivity rate low. As far as vaccines go, our next pop-up event is today on the Spit, and that is from 3 to 7, and that's at the Boathouse Pavilion at the top of Ramp 2. And I will apologize, I wasn't able to hear the beginning of the show, so if there were questions asked then and I'm not answering them, just let me know. But today's event is an outdoor event. It's at the Boathouse Pavilion. No pre-registration. It's just a walk-up clinic. There's both the Janssen, which is the single dose, and the Pfizer, which is the two-dose series that will be offered. I believe last week our number was about 35 that we ended up doing at a similar pop-up event, but it was earlier in the day, and so we've shifted our Thursday pop-ups out there to be end of day. So those are 3 to 7 every Thursday at the Boathouse Pavilion. And shifting that just to make it a little bit easier for maybe some of the folks that are returning from day trips and that kind of thing. The focus is a little bit is a little more open, because as of June 1st, the state is authorizing anybody, whether they're a visitor, a tourist, a resident, somebody working here or whatever, is now eligible for the vaccine. And the Pfizer in particular is authorized for emergency use for 12 years of age and older. So the net is a little larger even as we go into the weekend. And one of the kind of attractions to the Thursday events is that folks getting a dose receive $40 in chamber bucks, and those are the equivalent of cash at over 75 local vendors. And anybody, any Alaskan who has been vaccinated can show their card and put their name into the hat for weekly drawings. So I just wanted to give a little background on those incentives, because I don't want anybody to think that this is hospital or city money that is being used for to pay people for vaccines. So those funds that are used for those incentives, that is an incentive grant from the state of Alaska, not 100% certain where the money originates, but it's via the state of Alaska. And its intention was to talk to the folks who already said that they planned to get vaccinated. They just hadn't done it yet. And so it was just a little carrot to those who had already made that decision, but they were really busy working on their boat, really busy getting their garden ready. And this is just that little incentive to, hey, just go ahead and do it now. Since you already made your decision, just do it now. So just wanted to clarify that. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital. Here's a question that's come in from Bev. I think it's probably for Nurse Lorne, but I want to hear whatever you've got to say about it. So the question is, I received my first Pfizer COVID shot in January. It made me ill. I was ill for months afterwards and very reluctant to get another mRNA shot. I am considering getting the Johnson & Johnson shot because it's made in the more traditional way. No one can tell me if anyone else has received two different vaccines and if there are any consequences. Do you have any information about this for Bev?
Oh, yeah, sure thing. First of all, I guess I would say I'm sorry for the those reactions. That does not sound good. But I would say also, first of all, call your doctor. That's the first and best step. But yeah, good question. Mixing vaccines in the United States, there's a growing body of evidence regarding what that might look like. And I think we'll see some kinds of recommendations from ACIP, that's CDC's Advisory Committee for Immunization Practices in the future. So stay tuned.
Okay, so do you think, I'm trying to follow the thread there. So do you feel like it's safe for someone to do that? There aren't any consequences, any consequences of getting two different vaccines that you have data on already, like ill consequences, anything that's bad about that?
Oh, yeah, I see that part of the question. Yeah, I don't think there's any reason to believe that like side effects would be worse if mixing one vaccine with the other. And I'm drawing that from decades of experience we have in this country with giving vaccines. So we know that things like childhood vaccines are given best as a batch altogether. So yeah, I don't think there's any indications that folks who receive two different COVID vaccines in this country would have any kind of increased harm or harm related to getting two different vaccines.
Thanks so much. That's Nurse Lorne Carroll from the Homer Public Health Center in the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services. Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital, this question is definitely for you. It's about the hospital. And what percentage of the hospital staff is vaccinated? The caller said they heard it was about 50%, but wanted to know, has that number increased?
Yes, it has. We are at 60% of entire hospital employee number. And I want to, give a shout out, because that's pretty high compared to the state of Alaska numbers. But number two, just to give a little perspective on it, and that we still have folks that are working from home that are not really interacting very much or at high risk of catching COVID, number one. Number two, maybe they are recently recovering from COVID, or they actually had the antibody treatment, or they're have some personal health issues going on. Or, I mean, there's a variety of reasons why folks decline to get vaccinated at this moment or not, as well as some of the numbers in our total employee count that end up creating the percentage number. Those folks are very, very seasonal or part-time or work very rarely, like maybe only come in once a month or even just in the winter or in the summer. So the percentage of the entire employee base is 60%. We don't have a percentage of the actual number of people that work in the inpatient area, if you will, the folks that are coming.
Right. That was my next question is, do you have a number for how many people who work with patients?
So we don't have that number. We don't have that number broken down yet. And that also leads to the comment that we are still requiring masking in all of the hospital facilities, and that is definitely a known way to help prevent the spread of COVID and other infectious diseases.
And the caller also had a couple of other questions to go with that, one of which is, does the hospital offer any incentives to its employees to vaccinate?
Not at this time, no.
And also, does SPH allow healthcare workers who haven't been vaccinated for, say, measles or DPT to work with patients?
Not that I am aware of, but I would have to honestly research that. Like TB, pretty much where you're required, or at least you have a medical history of reasons why. Yeah, I'd have to look at that. I know that flu shot, for example, the flu shot is not required each year. It is encouraged. And if you don't take the flu shot, then you do have to mask when you are interacting with the public.
Okay, thanks. That's Dorotha Ferraro. Back to Nurse Lorne, although I'm happy to hear from you on this as well, Dorotha. Nurse Lorne, this one's comes from me. I know someone who now in their early 40s, very young, had to get a pacemaker because COVID damaged their heart. So how does the virus affect the heart? And then to follow up, I'll ask you this later too, but how can the virus have so many different effects? Erectile dysfunction, loss of senses, lung damage, heart damage. Why does it work in so many ways? But first, could you explain to me how the virus affects the heart?
Oh yeah, sure thing. That question is the very question that the entire science community on planet Earth is trying to answer.
Well, I'm glad I'm on point.
You know, you're on point. You know, one thing that we have found that's very evident is every single week there's a new set of literature that indicates that folks who have been infected with SARS-CoV-2, that's the virus that causes COVID-19, are having long-term effects from that infection. So every week we're learning a little bit more as the science unfolds. So I guess the take home there is follow the science. Here's one example. A couple of weeks ago, Joe McLaughlin, the chief epidemiologist for the state, highlighted a study that just emerged that demonstrates that men that are under age 50 who have had asymptomatic infection with SARS-CoV-2, the COVID-19 infection, are at increased risk for a stroke. That's something that we couldn't have anticipated before the science told us.
Thanks, Nurse Lorne. And the next question that came in to Kathleen at kbbi.org, I'm going to read, but also you can call if you have a question. You can call 235-7721, and Josh is standing by to either take down your question and email it into me or to send you to air if you want to ask your question live. But the next question is from Kathleen at kbbi.org. How is the effort to vaccinate kids 12 and older going? And is there a breakdown within the state for data of age groups and vaccines?
Oh, yeah, I'll take that. The short answer is it's going great. In the state of Alaska, the numbers for folks that are under age 19, about 23,000 of those in the state have received at least one dose. And yeah, there's a breakdown there. It's right there on the vaccine monitoring dashboard online if you have access to the internet. And the breakdown goes in 10-year increments. So it starts off in reverse order of folks that are age 80 and older, then it goes to 70, 79, et cetera, clear down to ages 10 through 19. And if you hover your mouse or pointer over each of those bars on the bar graph, it'll tell you how many doses have been given for each category. So another example is folks that are age 20 to 29 who've really been leading this pandemic in regards to cases. 20 to 29, those folks in Alaska, about 42,000 of them have received at least one dose of vaccine.
Thanks, Nurse Lorne. And the next question came to Kathleen at kbbi.org. If people are asymptomatic and carrying the virus, how do they spread it if they're not coughing, if they're not having issues?
That's a very good question. We're seeing an ongoing body of evidence that demonstrates that asymptomatic folks who are fully vaccinated, there's very little chance of transmission. So I guess I would point to just one piece, is that CDC shared some of this evidence in April of 2021, and it demonstrates that little to no spread of the disease came from folks with asymptomatic infection but were fully vaccinated. So what's going on there is when folks complete the series of vaccine and they've had about 2 weeks to build immunity, when they're exposed to the virus, that vaccine has already trained the body's natural occurring mechanisms to hunt down that virus and kill it before it causes problems.
Thanks, Nurse Lauren. So Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital, this one is definitely, I want to start with you and then maybe move on to Nurse Lauren. So the question came in, what should an employer do when one of their employees tests positive for COVID? And so I know South Peninsula Hospital has been dealing with this since the beginning of the pandemic. What are the procedures for SPH when one of the employees tests positive for COVID?
Well, the good news is that that's been long enough that I have to go, what are those? It's been a while. But definitely isolation. So when somebody tests positive, isolation is the first step. And then you start kind of retracing folks' interactions with others. And that's all part of the contact tracing that the state has been doing. And that involves looking 24 to 48 hours pre-symptomatic or pre-testing and looking at anybody that maybe they've been with for longer than 15 minutes in close proximity unmasked. And then asking those folks to quarantine so that if in case they are infected, they are not transmitting the virus, as well as possibly testing in about 5 days, because that's the more common time frame for onset of symptoms and the virus. As far as the person who tested positive, they want to track their symptoms and really keep in touch throughout the day with themselves and with their contact tracer, how their symptoms are doing, how their illness is doing, and if it seems to be developing in an uncontrolled way or unmanageable way, to absolutely get some seek care, because the hospital has a variety of treatments available in the antibody treatment, and we are here and available both at the primary care clinics as well as in the ER to help treat folks who do have COVID. And I defer to the expert contact tracer over there for anything I miss.
So, Nurse Lauren, you want to add anything to that?
Oh, boy. I guess I would just say there's lots of variables there. You know, you have an individual who popped up positive, a risk associated with those around them, a community risk, and also like government partners like tribal healthcare and the public health team. So I guess the take home there is just like all other efforts, it's a team effort. So step one, call your doctor, touch base with your infection control department if your employer has one, and follow the instructions from the public health nurse or the contact tracer. And you probably have some questions that pop up along the way. So be sure to reach out and get those answered. One place would be call your doctor, or you can call the public health center, talk to a nurse.
Thanks so much. I feel like we have been at this so long now that a lot of those early lessons are starting to fade. So I appreciate the reminder. What about Nurse Lauren? Is there state sponsored or DHSS online training for employers and employees on how to mitigate the spread of COVID in the workplace? Is there information like that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would call it less training and more guidance. CDC has a really well-organized site that's called Workplaces and Businesses. And kind of the bottom line there, or the tagline that they use, is it's their attempt to help folks plan, prepare, and respond. And, you know, that's actually a carryover from post 9/11, where we learned a lot about emergency preparedness. So these are things that public health nurses, public health, hospital, fire, and EMS. These are techniques that we've been using for a while. So you can get to it there online.
And then the last question that I have in my email queue right now makes me think of the first person asking about the multiple vaccines and having had a bad reaction to the first one. Is the CDC website, can you direct us where to find accurate data on adverse reactions to the vaccine? Because there's so much, I can't trust anything I read on social media. but I would like to know where to look on the CDC site or the DHSS site or wherever for accurate data on adverse reactions to the vaccine.
Yeah, that's a good question. There's a couple main components that collect that information in near real time. And so those two mechanisms, or I'll just name two of them, are VAERS, that's the Vaccine Adverse Reaction System, and also a system called VSD, Vaccine Safety Data Link. So these all these collect info real time, and that's what produces the body of evidence that CDC shares online. And so if you were to Google that, you'd be able to find that.
Okay, thanks so much. Now, Dorotha, I want to get back to you because it's about time to wrap up. And we have a vaccine clinic starting this afternoon. And I know we talked a little bit about it beforehand, but I want to make sure, is there anything that we're missing from information from Unified Command or South Peninsula Hospital that people need to know before we wrap up today?
Just that vaccine and testing is very available on the Southern Peninsula. And one thing that we did on behalf of Unified Command is that we sent a postcard mailing out to all box holders and addresses on the Southern Peninsula. And that is a helpful tool for folks to know all the places that offer vaccine as well as the COVID testing site information. Now, I do want to take a moment to just acknowledge that project and thank the many local individuals, the local residents, who did testimonials on that postcard and shared their stories about why they vaccinated, why they're encouraging vaccines, and just it really helped to localize it and make it a real local conversation. I also want to give an apology to our local post office that when the mailing went out, we didn't realize that it was going to be over the Memorial Day weekend when there's lots of Memorial Day sales catalogs that are hitting the mail, as well as our postcard, and it is over a long weekend when the post office was closed. So my apologies to the post office for any mess that we ended up creating with lots of extra postcard mail that ended up in the post office, and we went down and cleaned some of that up as much as we could, but we apologize for that, but really appreciate and thank the local community for their cooperative support in making the message available to everyone.
Thanks. That's Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital. Today's clinic at the Boathouse Pavilion on the Spit, on the Homer Spit, is from 3 to 7 p.m. Do I have that right?
Yes. It is 3 to 7 p.m. out at the Boathouse near the top of Ramp 2. No appointment necessary. It's walk-in. And if you already got vaccinated and want to just head out and show your card to put your name in for the drawing, that's good too. Or just get vaccinated, and you can get your $40 in chamber bucks. I want to give a 30-second detour on the fact that why I'm remote is I'm driving to Anchorage to support the Homer Mariners softball team, who made it to the state championship tournament this weekend. So they're starting their state playoff games this morning. So congratulations to them.
All right, go Mariners. And maybe you'll report back on their COVID practices. So, Nurse Lauren, is there anything that you'd like to add for this morning?
Oh, I guess just a couple comments about how we're doing nationally. And if we're back up and look at all 50 states, how we're doing in regards to case rates, we're just about in the middle. So we're about number 26 as of today. But when thinking or looking at hospital admissions, Alaska's at number 5. So that's really evidence that it's working. Our teams are working together, and the vaccine is also working to keep folks at home and at work and at play instead of in the hospital. And then lastly, a thing to celebrate, I think we should all feel good about, is Alaska's number one rated across the U.S. for the lowest death rate. So that's great. So I guess I would just end by saying vaccines are safe. They work well. 94% to 95% efficacious. So that's our ticket for getting out of the pandemic.
Thanks. That's Nurse Lauren Carroll from the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services and the Homer Public Health Center, and Dorotha Ferraro, spokesperson for South Peninsula Hospital. Just to remind everyone that starting at 9 o'clock today, every day you can get a COVID test or a free COVID vaccine at the COVID Care Center at 4201 Bartlett Street, just downhill from the hospital. And if you have any questions, or if you want to specifically reserve a time to get your vaccine, then, or if you're coming in for a test, call the COVID Care Line, and that is 235-0235. I'm Kathleen Gustafson. Thanks so much to Nurse Lauren Carroll and Dorotha Ferraro for being guests today.